And welcome back to Coast, Benjamin Baruch with us as we talk about his works and prophecy. The day of the Lord is at hand. How about the new tactics of global war as well? And as he mentioned, his website is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in just a moment and start taking your phone calls. I've got a few more questions for him about where we're all headed, and then we'll dive into your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Benjamin Baruch with us, of course. We'll get to your calls. Benjamin, on the back of the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, you write about prophecy and 9/11. Was September 11th, that tragedy, the catalyst for end times, do you think?
Yes, it was. It was a mystical date. It was a symbolic date in terms of cultism. And it was the beginning of the takedown of our country, if you will. You know, it's interesting, George, because 11 years prior, on 9/11 in 1990, then-President George Bush stood up, and this was in the context of Iraq's invasion of Kuwait, and he declared a new world order was coming. And these actions were part of a mystical mystery religion where they needed to act out the symbology of the new temple of Hercules, the Temple of Antichrist, which will be built in following the war. And they represent the three mystical numbers of 11, 22, and 33. And the first number represents the unveiling of what's hidden in the darkness. And that's what President Bush did on September 11th, 1990. 11 years later to the day, on September 11th, 2001, Flight 11 hit the Twin Towers and inaugurated the event. That was the beginning of the action, representing the number 22. And they're looking for the completion, the capping of the cornerstone, following 2012. And that work must be completed by 2016. And so we're headed right into it. These days really are about to come upon us.
I wish we could change it. Stop it.
Well, we can change it in terms of the effect on our own lives. There will be people that are going to be, in a sense, immune, if you will, or protected. We can't change what's going to happen because Bible prophecy will come at the appointed time, according to Scripture. And these times have been appointed. They've been fixed. They're as fixed as the rotation of the stars.
Well, they sure are. Okay, let's take some calls here for you, Benjamin. They are lining up for you. Scott is a first-time caller, Columbus, Montana. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. Norrie. And Mr. Baruch, I got to tell you, I got into the car tonight to come home from work, and I heard the end of the signs you were saying to watch for before the ICBMs come, and I started shaking. And I've been telling people about this for years. It's the erosion from within, and nobody seems to want to notice it. And I personally live in Columbus, Montana, which is about 90 miles from Yellowstone. So, you know, I'll have enough time to get onto the front porch to watch the pyroclastic cloud come in, if you know what I mean. But I want to know what it is we can do in the meantime. What can we do to protect ourselves? I think most of it's out of our hands as far as preventing, but what can we do to help our own selves?
Well, the more people that wake up, and the more people who take action, the better prepared our families and our communities will be. The events that are coming are going to change the world as we know it. And in many ways, the normal American lifestyle will be over. We live in the days of ease. They are ending soon. So in the natural, we can prepare by provisioning and by getting ready for a time of national crisis, of food shortages, of water shortages, and ultimately of war. But in the spiritual realm, these events are, in fact, the judgment of Almighty God. So to ultimately prepare properly, we have to turn to the Lord. People have got to wake up to the reality we live in a spiritual world. It's not just a material world. There is a God in heaven who created this universe. He created this planet, and he created mankind. And we will all give an account to him, and the day of accounting is coming upon the earth, the great day of God's judgment. And it says in the book of Revelation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the day of God's judgment has come. But there's still a chance. God still holds out the offer of peace and mercy and forgiveness to mankind, provided we're willing to repent of our sin and turn to the Lord and call on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the one name whereby we may be saved.
You know, I've always told people, you know, put some storables away too for the future. I don't know how long you can do it, but you got to have some water, food, just enough to hold on in case, just in case. A lot of this is to be prepared. So here's another question, Benjamin, and maybe the big one of all. Why is this such a hateful, warring planet?
Because of sin. Because of the evil of men. Because men would rather please themselves than love their neighbor.
And greed.
And greed. Yes, absolutely. Because of the evil that's in the heart of men. I mean, people prey upon each other. People who are filled with darkness do unspeakable acts of wickedness. And a lot of it is done in the name of God. Look at Islam and ISIS and the rest of this darkness. They claim to serve their God, Allah, who in reality is the moon god. He's not the god of heaven. He's the god of hell. You know, what god would sanction the murder of innocent children? Only a god filled with evil.
Well, our God did that back in the days of the Israelites, remember? Put lamb's blood around your door?
Well, the sacrifice was to present and to reveal to us that our sin required a sacrifice, and it was a foreshadow to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But he never required the murder of innocent children.
See, I think all religions probably are skewed somewhat, where they have forgotten. I mean, I don't think God is as evil as the early Bible depicted in terms of things that happened to mankind.
Well, I would agree that religion and all religious institutions end up under the control of men who seek to use these organizations for the projection of their own power, George. And so in the end,
That's right. They
all become corrupted. The religious leadership of Israel when Jesus first came was corrupted.
Look at the Vatican Bank, for crying out loud. Talk about corruption. I mean, the Vatican Bank is loaded in corruption. Makes no sense, does it?
Well, the rule of man brings nothing but tyranny and sorrow and pain. And that's why we really look for a return to the kingdom of God, because God's the only one that can really rule the earth and do so righteously. All the men that have tried it end up becoming despots. Power corrupts men.
Do you believe that some higher power will step in and bail us all out?
I believe that at the very end of these days, Jesus Christ will return. But I don't know that we'll be bailed out. A remnant will be saved. The world will have demonstrated its own evil by all the things that it's done. I mean, it's men doing all of this evil, George.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to lay the blame at the doorstep of God. But God didn't do all of it. God didn't build these nuclear weapons. And God didn't create all of the sin and all of the sadness, which is the sorry history of humanity. And there's been goodness in this world, no doubt. And there's goodness even today, but that goodness came from God.
Let's go to Mel, Sarasota Springs, New York. Hey, Mel, you're on with Benjamin. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, George. Good morning, Benjamin.
Hi.
I've got a comment and a question. First of all, right before the break, the segment before the last break, it sounded like a real-time episode of Underdog with Simon Barr Sinister, who was the mad scientist. But it seems that we don't have hundreds. We have thousands of these Simon Barr Sinisters around the world who I believe need to be plucked from the from amongst the living and sent straight to hell where they belong. My question is, in regards to precious metals and the accumulation of precious metals by an average person such as myself, in the short term, how would that help to stave off any any bad economic strife.
All right, that's a good question.
My family might suffer.
Let's tap into your investment mind there, Benjamin.
Sure. Well, precious metals are one of the most stable assets in terms of preservation of wealth because they don't depend on the credit of another party. But precious metals have not performed well in the last couple of years because the price is being artificially suppressed by naked short selling in the futures market. And so precious metals have not, they haven't done well, but they are a great store of value. When the economy goes down, if the United States suffers a devastating attack and a world war, we'll get to a point where the dollar becomes Confederate money. Precious metals theoretically will hold their value, but if the trucks have stopped running and there's no food on the grocery shelves,
what value is that, right?
Yeah, what are you going to do with your gold when a chicken or a loaf of bread is worth more than an ounce of gold? So yes, it's a good store of wealth. It's a transportable wealth. If you plan on leaving the country and you want to take some real money in your pocket, a couple gold coins will be great. But in a time of total economic collapse, there won't be anything to exchange, and you'd be better off owning food and other items. But those are difficult to store, and they're perishable. And So it's a dilemma how to prepare for the coming day of the Lord. And I would stress the most important preparation is spiritual.
And Benjamin, what about the haves and the have-nots? What happens during this kind of a scenario where the have-nots say, I want this? What happens?
Oh, exactly. Well, you know, it doesn't work for somebody to have accumulated all of the survival goods that they need and then their neighbor starves to death.
That's right.
That just does not work. Your neighbor doesn't just sit in his house and peacefully starve to death. You know, he'll be at the door. So the haves are going to have to share with the have-nots, or the have-nots will organize and come and take it. Now, the really rich people think they're behind these gate-guarded communities, but when the real chaos comes, the guards will have long fled to protect their own families, the police will be home protecting their own homes, and you know, the rich will be the victims of the poor.
And gates can be knocked down.
Yes, they can.
We go next to Shane in New Orleans. Hey, Shane, welcome to the program.
Merry Christmas, Mr.
You too,
Merry
Shane. Christmas. You too, my friend.
Thank you so much. I believe in the Holy Book, you know. I've read the Quran. I believe in my Bible, you know, but when Jesus spoke, I shall come quickly. I mean, even the apostles thought it was going to be during their time, you know,
yes.
It was always during the, and in Revelation, it says, no man shall knoweth the time or the place, for the cometh of the Lord. So, I mean, Mr. Benjamin, I mean, do you think it's going to happen during our time?
Every civilization has thought that they were in end times, Benjamin. So in terms of timing, go ahead.
Well, no man knows the day or the hour of the actual second coming of Jesus, and that's true, and I don't either. But Jesus said, you know, you can see the weather, you fools. Why can't you see the signs of the times? The prophecies were written to instruct us as to the season in which these events would occur. And in this hour, they're all being fulfilled. You know, if you look at the fundamentals, the reason we wrote the book, The New Tactics of Global War, was to explain in real-world terms how close we are to world war. And it's a complex analysis. It took an entire book to unveil. The bottom line is our enemies perceive a window of opportunity and a window of American vulnerability. If we were to elect a conservative president and America were to change course, then America would be better protected 5 or 10 years from now. So for many, many reasons, the world is at a financial crossroads. We're at a point of maximum economic risk. The colors on the map are already beginning to run, and the nations of the world are all mobilizing for war. Now, you can put your head in the sand and comfort yourself that you don't think anyone knows the day or the hour, but, you know, the bell is tolling, and it tolls for you, my friend. I mean, just watch the events of this coming summer and you'll see this world is already shaking at its foundations. The earth itself is groaning and it's spinning out of control by every metric you could look at.
Benjamin, what are you doing personally, if you want to share that with us, to kind of offset this for yourself or for your family?
Well, I moved out of the major cities. I live in a very remote part of the country. And
on purpose? You did this on purpose?
I did this on purpose. And I'm also doing a lot to try to awaken my countrymen to do as much as I can for my country. And I'm also doing as much as I can to help the poor. It says in the Bible that if you give to the poor, if you give to widows and orphans, you are lending to God. And so one of the best investments you can make right now is help legitimate orphanages. I've got an orphanage that I'm involved with in India and then a number of orphanages in other parts of the third world where I'm helping take care of little homeless kids that are being pulled out of the garbage dumps of the third world. And that is actually a loan to God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the only one whose credit rating is going to survive the events of the future.
We support Children International, which does basically what you do by, you know, trying to save some of those children who are in a horrible situation.
And, George, I think that is probably the best thing we can do. You know, if we are successful and, you know, we've got enough to put the roof over our head, I don't need to live a life of luxury. I'm comfortable with, you know, just an average middle-class lifestyle.
Yep.
Beyond that, I want to help little children that are, you know, suffering terribly.
Good for you. Good for you. Joe in the Bronx, let's get you in here, Joe, before the break.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
Mr. Baruch, yeah, you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the Levant and the Caliphate. I'd like to know, what are the difference between the Caliphate, which they're trying to assemble, and the Levant, or are they synonymous? And also this neutron star, can anything be done to prevent the effects that are now going on upon our star?
Minute to go. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, with Levant and Caliphate, one is more of a geographic identity, and the other is more the legitimacy of the Sharia government that they intend to impose within that geographic region. It's kind of the same concept, really.
And you're concerned about neutron stars?
There's not much we can do other than prepare for radical climate change.
We have been trying to get our grid insulated, Benjamin, against an EMP attack or a major solar flare from the sun. Hopefully we'll get that done. We keep trying, and we're not going to give up. Stick with us. We're not going to give up on you either, because we're going to come back and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast, and we've got a full bank of calls. So all of you who've been on hold, just hang there. I'll get right back to you on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with Benjamin Baruch as we talk about his work, especially the last day of the Lord is at hand. Is it? Perhaps so. Okay, George Norrie here, and we're back with your final phone calls with Benjamin Baruch, and we will jump right into them. Benjamin, what's your next project, by the way?
Well, I'm doing a 7-volume series called Search the Scriptures. The first three are done. Out of the darkness, you shall know the truth, and the remnant shall return. I've got to finish Volume 4, I Am the Door, Volume 5, Ezekiel, Volume 6, Revelation, and Volume 7, The King is Coming.
Ezekiel, what do you think that wheel was? Was it a spaceship?
The wheel in Ezekiel?
Yeah.
It talks about the whirlwind coming out of the north and these creatures with four faces coming out of the whirlwind, and then it pictures wheels within wheels. The Hebrew word, George, actually is better interpreted, there's a face within their faces. It's the face of Jesus as the Lion of Judah appearing in the 144,000 who are going to walk as the rider in the storm through this whirlwind that's coming. So it's not really wheels. There's a face within their faces.
Let's go to Alex in Seattle.
144,000.
Hello, Alex. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Alex. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I appreciate you always stirring the pot.
Thank you.
I listen when I can. But Benjamin, I really appreciate what you're doing, man. I grew up in the church, and it only recently hit me that all this stuff is true, which is crazy. I'm 29 years old. But I've also been doing some studying. I've been reading Ezekiel 38 and cross-referencing that with history books and everything. Yeah, there's a lot of smart people on this radio station, but I just want to say that I really appreciate your vigilance and your dedication to all this, because this is the one true thing in the world, and it will not last. And George, you're in a great position to affect many people. You're of great influence to a lot of different people. And, you know, I just want to say that it's a really good opportunity for you to do your best, too.
Well, Alex, we're going to do all we can to get the word out, that's for sure. And that's, I think, Benjamin, probably one of the most critical things we can do is just to get the word out.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're responsible for what we've received and what we do with it. And ultimately, we are our brother's keeper. We're responsible for our families, for our community, and for our country, George.
Yeah. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Danielle's with us now, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Danielle.
Hi, good morning. I'm really glad that that House bill or the Senate bill didn't get through.
On the GMOs, yeah.
Yeah, that's extremely important. You asked your guest, Ben, a question, what is a prophet and what is prophecy? And I know you don't want to discuss the scriptures, but it's kind of an exercise in futility to talk about the Bible without mentioning specific references. So if you don't mind, I'll read it. It's in Ezekiel chapter 18.
Danielle, we don't read scripture on the show. That's the thing.
This is how in
I'll
light
let you
of,
take two lines, okay?
Okay. I will raise up a prophet for you among your brethren, and he will be my mouthpiece, and you must listen to him. And aside from that, the best predictor of the future that God has given us is the law of Moses. And our obedience or lack thereof to it. That's how we can predict the final outcome. And the list of blessings and cursings that follow either obedience or disobedience is clearly outlined in Scripture. Now, the image of the beast and the World Wide Web and the current political realities, to step around that herd of elephants, to not mention its dramatic effect and its powerful effect on all the financial currents, the political, and the global superstructure, and the fact that the American people have literally self-incarcerated themselves through their addiction to their worship of the image of the beast and put themselves literally under house arrest and are being, at this moment, monitored by unknown parties. We don't have a free society. You can't have it without privacy. And how do you get around the World Wide Web and the mark of the beast and the image of the beast? How can you not see that in Scripture? Because it's clearly defined in the book of Habakkuk, the book of Zechariah, and the book of Isaiah, and all the prophets. I very carefully cross-referenced in there. That is, it began with the moving pictures and morphed into what we know as the internet today, and now is being used as a very powerful military weapon, mm-hmm. and is carrying out all the complicated logistics of an occupying army without anybody having to put any boots on the ground. The people, like I said, have self-incarcerated. They're paying to keep themselves that way, so that's what the Bible, because of our ignorance of the second commandment, that we should not make a graven image of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or the waters below the earth. Neither shall we bow down to worship them. And that's what we've done. And that's basically the image of the beast and the mark of the beast is a judgment upon an idolatrous world, specifically and especially an adulterous and apostate.
All right, let's get Benjamin's somewhat reaction to some of that. I didn't hear a question there, Ben, but what do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Black Plague ravaged Europe and ultimately England approximately 666 years ago, George. And there's no time left to go into the details, but in my book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, I unveil there's a relationship between the Black Sea and the Black Plague and the Black Prince, who is the Antichrist that is coming, and the Black Horseman of the Book of Revelation, and the Elders of the Beast, who were inaugurated as 24 elders to serve 12 dedicated to the monarch, who's the head of the Illuminati, and 12 dedicated to the prince who serves the Red Dragon, two covens of witches, 13 each, that are the king and queen witches over the world's satanic church. And this organism began to move and operate 666 years ago, circa 2014, and the Olympics being on the shore of the Black Sea, and the warning in the stars of imminent world war coming upon the earth, which was forecasted by all the leading Russian astrologers and is also in the stars from a biblical astronomy perspective, foreshadowed events that would come in the Black Sea. People wondered, could it be an event at the Olympics? No, it was the invasion of Ukraine and Crimea, which is actually the first battle of World War III. And these days are coming upon us, George.
Steve in Los Angeles now. You're on with Benjamin Baruch. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, George and Ben. Happy New Year.
You too, Steve.
Once again, another great show, man. I mean, this is one that everybody should have heard. I hope everybody heard this one.
It's for the record book.
I got two quick questions, and I'll take my answers off the air. First one is, at some point during or after this great war, do you see Israel getting having a peace treaty that would be the confirmation of the covenant? And at that point, should we do the countdown of the 7 years? And my second question is, I know this really isn't your field, but you have talked about astrology a little bit. Do you know exactly what date, you know, the constellations have different sizes. Do you know exactly when we change over from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius?
And first question, after World War III, yes, the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many. He doesn't make the covenant, he confirms it. The word many in Hebrew is Rabin. The man who signed the covenant was Yitzhak Rabin. He signed it on the White House lawn on September 13th, 1993, Rosh Hashanah, with Yasser Arafat and President Bill Clinton. There were 3,000 witnesses present. The press reported for the first time in history, exactly 3,000 witnesses gathered to observe the signing of the most historic peace treaty in the history of mankind. For after nearly 4,000 years of war, the descendants of Isaac and Ishmael have made peace. The covenant of death is the covenant with Rabin, the covenant with the many. Yes, it will be confirmed after World War III. A world government will be imposed on the planet. Israel and Jerusalem will be divided, and we'll go into the final 7 years of human history. Good scholarship, Steve. As far as astrology, I don't study that. As far as astronomy, the stars are signs pointed by God in the heavens to reveal the future for mankind, not the destiny for each individual life. And I would say when we crossed the Mayan calendar date, that was the end of the current age. The Mayans really stopped because that was the point where we crossed the galactic median, and every calendar has an end date. You can't print an infinite number of pages. The Mayans merely pointed where we would cross the galactic median. We've entered the new age, and indeed these things are coming upon us. And that right now.
Yeah, they're coming faster than we think. First-time caller Cindy in Pennsylvania. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
In addition to preparing with food and water and such, it is necessary for us to prepare spiritually. And the best thing we can do is to get close with God, reconnect if we're disconnected, and speak the word to our neighbors so they can come to salvation through Christ, too. Use our money to support ministries for outreach, because the more souls we can save, the more people will join us in the end. And ultimately, that's what God wants. He wants all men to be saved. All men won't be saved, but as many as we can get.
Amen, Cindy. You're right on. Go and look for the book, Out of the Darkness. The Lord brought that forth. Check the comments, the review comments on Amazon.com. It'll confirm it was a word that came by the Holy Spirit, and it's changing lives, setting people free.
Let's take a few more calls here. Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, sir.
Hello there, George and Benjamin. God bless both of y'all. My question is, Benjamin, with the way these movies are coming out, I think they're preparing us for the end times and stuff. And I hope that you can give your phone number at the end, because I don't have a computer and a website address and a phone number. So God bless you. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, fellas.
Well, you're welcome, Cornelius. That's a good observation. Yes, everything that the secret shadow government is doing is being telegraphed in the media, in the movies, and they have to do that. It's part of their mystic religion. They must first declare before they act. I can't really give out my phone number over the air, but, you know, you can go to a computer store, internet library, whatever. It's BenjaminBaruch.net. Or just check online in Amazon.com for my name, and you'll find all the books.
And you can get emailed through your website, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. You on social by any chance?
No.
You're not doing that.
I stayed off that.
Okay. Let's go to Les in Wahoo, Nebraska. Les, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Benjamin. I'm a voice from the past. You and I have a mutual friend in Omaha, and we've even gone to eat together.
But, oh, yeah. Hey, Les. How are you?
You remember me? Yeah. I'm
doing
good. Still pursuing Yeshua to my fullest ability. My question is, I watched a very interesting video called Planet 7X by a guy named Broussard. And I was wondering, with your insights and with your knowledge, if you had any little tidbits you can throw out about Planet X.
Well, I've talked with my friends that work at NASA, and there is a companion star to our sun. 70% of all stars are companion stars, where two or more stars are in orbit. Our sun is an average sun, and it has a companion, and that companion will come within 400 AU of our solar system. It's not going to fly by visible like the moon or anything, but yes, we are approaching perihelion, and after we do, the companion star, which is basically a little white dwarf, it's pulling a lot of debris in its wake, and there's going to be a lot of meteor strikes. There's going to be a lot of very exciting things in our future. It looks a lot like the Book of Revelation, surprisingly.
Interesting times on this planet, Benjamin. Interesting times.
Yes, George, indeed they are.
My gosh, it just doesn't stop. Okay, what is the next telltale sign that what you've been talking about is about to be? What will we see? I got the minute
we're
left.
We're going to see some massive terrorist incidents in this country, and they're going to spiral into or open the door for a real economic crisis. And then we're going to go under martial law.
Gosh, I hope you're wrong, but we shall
see.
And
we probably won't have an election. They'll have us under martial law by October.
You don't think we'll have a 2016 election?
No, it's not a prophecy. That's just my educated guess that the elite are happy with the current puppet in charge, and they will engineer some kind of massive attack, perhaps a series of suitcase bombs detonated in seven or more of our cities.
All right, we shall see.
We go under martial law, and we never emerge.
Scary times ahead if what you say comes to be sure. Well, stick with us all week long, folks. We've got some great programs for you, and don't forget, live on New Year's Eve and live on New Year's. For Dan Galante, G. Hun Lee, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.